Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. If you're a guest with us here today, I'm Pastor Mike. We're honored to have you here today. If you have your Bible, if you have your copy of God's Word, I'm going to introduce our Associate Pastor Ryan Wicker, our Associate Pastor of Education. He's going to speak for just a moment. But go ahead in your Bible and find Luke chapter 24 in your copy of God's Word, Luke 24. And then we'll be looking there in just a moment as we think about our responsibility to go and to tell, our job as God's people, and we'll get back to that. Ryan's here. He's going to talk to us about a very important ministry that goes on in the life of this church, and it's called Sunday School. Now, sometimes, Ryan, people tell me, Pastor Mike, Sunday School, that's for kids. So I want you to tell us, if you would please, sure. Tell us about Sunday School, what we do around here, why it's important, and whatever else you'd like to say. Would you say, sure. Welcome Ryan and say thank you to him for all he does?
Okay. Yeah. You know, personally speaking, Sunday School was one of the first places I heard the gospel. And it was where I responded to the gospel and where I continued to even learn about God's plan for my life. And so we here at First Baptist, you may see signs are in the hall or whatever it calls Sunday School, Renewed Sunday School. We basically base our philosophy off of Romans 12:2, which says, don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. And so Sunday School exists for transformation and for renewal. Our vision, of course, for Sunday School is just to disciple believers to maturity in Christ and to see them develop into people who can serve this church. And so Sunday School is both a way to encourage us in our faith and to equip us to serve the church. It is for every age group. We have classes for every age, children, youth, both at 9 o'clock, at 10:30, and even one adult class at 8 o'clock and a children's class at 8 o'clock for those who want to come early. And so we have that open for everybody. And so Sunday School really is for everybody. And, you know, it's important to be part of these groups as we learn more about the gospel and what it means to follow Jesus. People encourage us. People help us. We care for each other. Sunday School is where fellowship happens. It's where friendships grow. It's where they deepen. Many times in my life, I have gone through a hard time, and the people in my group have helped me get out of that, have encouraged me in the midst of that. So if you're here and you are not part of a group, if you are part of Sunday School, I praise God for you. I'm glad you're there. Continue to go. Encourage your teacher. Pray for your teacher. But if you're not currently part of a group, first of all, I'd love to talk to you. You're welcome to call the church during the week and talk to me. Email me. I'll also be in the back. We've got a booth, a table set up in the foyer. I'd love to talk with you. There's a list of our classes there and explain more about that. But Sunday School, we do a lot of things outside of Sunday. A lot of our classes fellowship outside of Sunday. And so Sunday School is hosting an event here at the church. It's a simulcast, Secret Church simulcast, this coming Friday. So we'd love for you to come out and be a part of that. There's more information on the website. And we also, our young adult groups often gather every fourth Thursday of the month for an event called The Exchange here at the church at 6 o'clock in the conference center. So if you're here and you're a young family, a young adult, you'd like to meet other young adults, we'd love to have you come out to The Exchange. The next one is not this coming Thursday, but the next Thursday, the 26th. So I'd invite you to come to that as well. So appreciate
it. Amen. Thank you, Ryan. We want to encourage everybody, find you a place and join with a group of other people studying God's Word. It's great to be in here in worship, but the way you get to know somebody, to pray for somebody, be encouraged by others, and you encourage them is to find a place. And so there's the guy. Find Ryan. He'll be outside, and he can help you with that. All right, if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 24, if you'll please stand now as we read God's Word. Today we read Jesus' final words, some of his final words recorded in the book of Luke to his disciples. So what is it that Jesus has called us to do as his disciples? Well, in Matthew's gospel, we know those familiar words about what Jesus said for us to do, go and make disciples. But here we read in Luke chapter 24, some very important words. I'm going to begin reading in verse 44. Now Jesus said to them, his disciples, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And then here's our focus for today. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. Heavenly Father, help us as we now go from this place, those of us who are followers of Jesus, to tell other people the importance of repenting of sin so that their sins might be forgiven. May my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we spoke last week about the importance of going and telling the world that Jesus is alive. And we looked last week in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. It's a very familiar verse to many of us in the Bible. Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth." You'll be my witnesses. That is, you will tell other people that you have seen me alive. So all based on these eyewitnesses, hundreds of them who saw Jesus, who recorded these words, and those of us who are here today who are born again, the Holy Spirit of God lives in us, the very life, the very power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power now dwells inside of us, the same Holy Spirit. We confess Jesus as alive because He is alive in us, and because He was seen alive by those who witnessed Him. And those are the things we believe. So when you go and tell, when we go out and we do our obligation, our responsibility to be a witness for Jesus, we tell other people that Jesus is alive, and we know it from personal experience and also from what the Bible has said. But now we come to these very interesting words. Jesus says here again in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, that we're to go to the nations. Did you see it there? Go to the nations and proclaim in His name, or tell others in the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. Now this is important. That you're only forgiven of your sins if you repent of your sins. So notice what he says, that repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in His name to all nations. So I'll do my part today. I'll proclaim to you, I'll speak to you to say that unless you repent of your sins will not be forgiven by God. So this is a very important thing for us. This is helping us to understand the first steps toward having a relationship with God. How is it that I come to know God? I start by repenting of my sins. So I want to make three observations quickly from these words. First of all, I want you to see that we have a responsibility. Jesus said to us to go, not just the preachers, not just what I'm doing here today, but for all of us when we're out there at work, when we're at school, when we're with our friends, wherever we find ourselves, as a follower of Jesus, we have an obligation. We've been commanded to tell other people, you've got to change your ways. You've got to change your mind toward God and toward your lifestyle and what you choose to do. That's what we mean when we say to tell somebody that they must repent. This word repent, this New Testament word repent, simply means to change your mind and change direction. It has in it those two ideas. You have to change your mind. Coming to know Jesus Christ means that you will change your mind about what the Bible says about God and what God says for us to do, and you'll change your mind. You'll compare the way you live to the way God says you ought to live. And based on that, you'll discover that you don't match up. You don't match up in what God wants you to do and how God wants you to live. Therefore, we're sinners. We've all sinned. We fall short of all these standards that God gives. We just don't match up. We don't live up to it. So we have this obligation to go and tell our friends. Yes, we tell them that God loves them, friend. Yes, Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loves the world, He so loved the world that He gave His Son. The cross is God's expression of His great love for the world, even in our sins. But listen, to get out of my sin, to be forgiven by God of my sins, it requires that I repent of my sins. So let me talk about repentance for a moment. What is repentance? What does it look like? We don't often hear about repentance. It gets lost in all of the talk of coming to know Jesus, but I want you to clearly understand today what the Bible has to say about repentance. Repentance is a deep shame for sin that leads me to confess and admit that I'm a sinner. It is a shame for the way I have lived, for the way I have treated people, for the hurtful, terrible things I have said, for the things I've stolen, for the broken relationships in family and in work and all the rest that take place. Our lives are a big mess without God. And when we read God's Word or when someone starts talking to us about Jesus and talking to us about our sins, you know, generally when I talk to people about sinfulness, they're not trying to defend themselves. They admit, say, yeah, I'm all messed up. I don't know what to do. My life's a wreck. But when we start to talk about Jesus, some, not all, we wish it was all, some hear what you start to say about Jesus dying on the cross for sin, and all of a sudden on the inside, something mysterious happens. See, this is the way God works. This is the way God works. As we talk about Jesus, as we share with them, and they see in our life a difference, that we live a different way, and that Jesus is alive in us, when they start to see in us our friends and our neighbors who don't know Jesus, who are deep in sin, they begin to feel a desire to be like that. They want to change. They want to change. And then they wonder, how do I change? It starts right here. 2 Corinthians 7:10, I won't have you turn there, but here's what it basically says. Godly sorrow leads to repenting. It's not enough just for me to be sad that I've sinned. You know, people say, well, I'm sad I've sinned and I shouldn't have done that and I shouldn't have spoke that way and I shouldn't have done those things, but I'm just human. I'm just human. Okay, that's good. That's true. However, when you come to a place of having real shame and sorrow that says, I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to change my life. I want to go in a new direction. Then you begin to experience what comes next. That shamefulness and a desire to change leads you to come to God and say this, I have sinned. Jesus tells the story. A lot of you know the story. The prodigal son, it's a famous story Jesus told about the son who went away, took his money from his dad for his inheritance, wasted it all, ended up out of feeding pigs, and there in the pigsty, in that stinking pigsty with those nasty animals, he came to himself and said, what am I doing? I mean, my father's servants eat better than I do, do better than me. I'm going to get up and go back to my father, and I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned, and I'm no longer worthy to be your son. It is an expression of repentance. Repenting is this shame for where we are. Look, you can't change your past, but your past tells you what sin can do in your life. It is a shame that leads to confession, and it is a turning away from an old way of life and following a new way of life, the Jesus life. We come to this place as followers of Jesus to learn to live the Jesus way of life. That's why we're here. We come to learn as those who have repented of our sins and believed on Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. We come now to learn the Jesus way of life. I love reading this story. I won't be able to spend a lot of time on it this morning, but One of my favorite stories is the story of Zacchaeus. You know the story, don't you? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree just to see what he could see. I went to preschool. Did I do all right? Thank you. Appreciate the credit. Now you're next. We're going to all stand and sing it, right? He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And Zacchaeus hurried down the tree and came and received Jesus gladly. And then we read these words as they're walking to Zacchaeus' house, verse 8. Zacchaeus stopped and he said to the Lord Jesus, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." That is repentance. It's turning away from a life of thievery. Zacchaeus the thief became Zacchaeus the follower of Jesus, and he went and took care of all of his debts and tried to make things right. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, we must learn to exercise ourselves to godliness. We practice a godly lifestyle. When I've come to know Jesus and I've repented, I show it in the change in the way I've lived. I used to live one way, a self-centered way of living. Everything revolved around me and my ways. But now that I've confessed Jesus and confessed my sin, I want to go and follow Jesus' way. I want to live for Jesus wherever I go. And I want to practice the way of life Jesus practiced. I want to pray. I want to be with God's people. I want to study and read God's word. I want to do the kind of deeds that matter and be Jesus to people. So when we repent, church, when we repent, we experience the forgiveness of sin, because there is this deep shame in our life about what our past has been, and we want to change the direction of our life. The third thing I want you to see this morning is this, and I must say this. In Luke chapter 13, some people came around Jesus and they were talking about the news of the day. The news of the day. Now, on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Pilate had killed some Galileans making their sacrifices. Listen, Jesus said, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate?" Jesus said, "I must say to you today, I'm not true to the word of God if I do not say it. I must say to you all today, this includes every human being on the planet today, unless you repent, you will perish." Perishing. Paul says that if our gospel is veiled, if you talk to somebody about Jesus and the gospel and they just look at you with a blank stare and they can't respond, the gospel is veiled to them because they are perishing. We're good at this. We're good at going out and volunteering to try to go on rescues, to help with anybody. We've had this occasion in our own community, all of us turning out to try to help find a boy. We'll do anything we can, whether it's through the Red Cross or through first responders and assisting them to help when there's a natural disaster and an emergency. But there is an urgent issue facing us every day of life, and that is the people in our families, The people who work with us, who do not know Jesus, are perishing. Every day, closer to eternal death, perishing. Jesus talked about perishing as much as anybody. I'll quote again the most famous verse in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not..." People are perishing. People are perishing. It's more than that they lack daily food. It's more than that they lack water or the needs and the clothing and all of the education. It's more than the physical. It has to do with their spiritual condition, dead in their sins. They are perishing. Church, we must wake up. We must remember that as we go from this place, we have an obligation to speak to our friends and our neighbors and tell them Jesus is alive. He can change your life. You don't have to keep living like this anymore. You can turn from your old way of life and believe on Jesus and find an entirely new way of living. But we all have to go because they perish. Perishing in their self-centeredness. Perishing in their rebellion against God. If a doctor told you that one of your children, grandchildren, friends had an incurable disease and they were soon to die, you would join with all the urgency you could muster to try to help them find a cure. Our friends are perishing who do not know Jesus. These are the words of Jesus. So what do they mean to us? They ought to stir us in our soul. You see, you can't be forgiven of sins if you won't repent. You can't carry all of your junk into a Jesus life. It doesn't work. You got to give it up. You got to turn away from it. You got to not live that way anymore. Whatever it costs you, you've got to say, "I'm walking away from my old life and I'm now going to follow Jesus. And Lord, here's my mess. Here's my mess. I confess my sin to you." And finally, I want you to know that those who repent, here's what Jesus said, heaven gets really happy when one person is willing to repent. Isn't that good news? Well, look what it says. These are those familiar stories in Luke 15. I won't have you turn there. They're on the screen there for you. And Jesus talks about a woman who lost a coin and found it, how happy she was in finding that coin. And a lost sheep, a shepherd who lost a sheep, how happy he was to find that sheep. And a dad whose son, we talked about him already, came back home, how happy dad was that son came back. Jesus said, "I tell you in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who goes to church." Is that what it says? No. "Over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." In the same way, Jesus says, "I will tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So John Wesley, Charles Wesley were two great men who followed Jesus. Charles Wesley wrote this old hymn years ago. I want you to read it with me. Listen to the words. They may be a little bit archaic to our language, but I want you to see what these words say because they describe what it means to repent. Depths of mercy, depths of mercy. Can there be mercy still reserved for me? See, this is what the person in sin says. Can there be any mercy reserved for me? I've done so many horrible things. Can my God his wrath forbear and the chief of sinners spare? I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face. Would not hear his gracious calls, grieved him by 1,000 falls. Jesus, answer from above. Is not your nature love? Will you not the wrong forget? Lo, I fall before your feet. Now incline me to repent. Let me know my fall lament. Deeply my revolt deplore. Weep, believe, and sin no more. Repentance. It is coming with deep shame, recognizing that we have sinned against God and we've sinned against other people, coming with brokenness, sadness in our sin, weeping and confessing our sin, believing on Jesus to change our life. By faith, He died, He rose from the dead, and the life He lives, He can give to you a new life, and then to live a life not like the old way, but a life in a new way, living for Jesus every day. That's what we must do. We must leave this place. You've not shared the whole truth with your friend about the gospel of Jesus if you're unwilling to say, and oh, by the way, leave your old way of life. Confess your sin. Step away from your old way of life and live for Jesus. Weep, believe, and sin no more. Thank you for listening, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the clear truth of what you have commanded us to do, Lord Jesus. And just as you called many of your churches at the end of the New Testament to repent, some of us who are your people need to repent today. We've gone back. We've gone back to our old ways of sinfulness. We've gone back to our old ways of flesh and compromise. Words come out of our mouths that ought not to come out of our mouths as followers of Jesus. Attitudes come out of our mind that ought not to come out of our mind as followers of Jesus. And we must repent. Just as we repented at the beginning when we first followed Jesus. And Lord, there are others who are here today who are strangers to the grace of God, but they want to change. May they see the first step is to say, forgive me of my sins. I have sinned. I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to turn back like this song says. I'm going to keep going. Some others who are here today, they need a place to belong, be in a fellowship with other believers and be a part of a church. And I pray you'd give them the courage to make that public decision if they need to make it today. Well, with our heads bowed, we always ask people to come publicly. We have no shame in doing that. We believe that if you're going to tell somebody about Jesus in public, you ought to be able to step out in front of the church and tell the church you're ready to follow Jesus. Some of you may have prayed to receive Christ in your home, but you've never publicly come and said, I'm now a follower of Jesus. I need to be baptized. You need to do that publicly today. Some of you need to join this church. You need to do it publicly. And a whole lot of us who are part of this church need in our own lives to repent and go back and do the first things that God taught us and called us to do. So Heavenly Father, bless this invitation. Time now, give people the courage to do what you've called them to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? We're going to sing this song. The pastors are here. We invite you to come if you need to come.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
You're among friends.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have
just a moment. So today, if this was the last day of your life, are you 100% certain that if you died today, you'd go to be with the Lord? Are you 100% certain? Friend, you need to settle that now. Settle that. Finish that. Repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. It's the most important decisions you'll make. More important than your job, your family, your friends. It is the most important decision. So are you here this morning and you need to confess your sin? Are you a believer in Jesus, a part of this church, and you need to repent? Then do it. Do what? Change your mind. Change the direction of your life. Steve's going to sing one more verse. If no one comes, that'll be all for this service. If you need to come, come on.
My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Right. Thank you very much for being here today. May the Lord bless you. We have the Lord's Supper tonight. We hope that you'll be back at the Lord's table as we meet again. May the Lord bless you. Let's sing, Steve, and we'll be dismissed. God bless you for being here today.